I never want to be ungrateful for all that God has done for me. And I stand here and I look across the room and everybody's going, me either. Now, if I tell you a way for us to overcome ungratefulness, then we are forced to make a decision about what it is we hear. Are we not? Starting today, until God does something else, all right? Starting today, here's what I want us to do. In a moment, we're going to ask you if anybody has any prayer requests. Because we want you to empty off any concerns that you have so that you can enter into worship without polluting it. Learn that from Ray. Okay? But starting today, we will begin all prayer requests with a praise report. Because it's amazing how we go, how many of you got something good you want to share with the church? And we have two people, and then we say, how many of you have a prayer request? And we have 24 people. My question is, what are we focusing on?
Our problem.
Exactly. And see, there's it's a major in teacher with a minor in prophet. How many of you are glad it's not the other way around? Because we're focusing on the... It's so easy to look and see how much we need for God to do for us that we overlook what it is God has already done. Amen? And please hear me. I'm not trying to be ugly or hard or anything. What I am trying to do, though, is to take us into another land. I want us to do something we've never done so that we can experience something we've never had. And I have made the decision, and we've talked about this in our elders' meetings, I've made the decision, I'll go with five. I'll go with five people to the promised land rather than have 500 people who don't want to go anywhere. I can sit five in our den, and we'll sit there and seek God. Amen? If we lose the building and property, because getting Jesus is more important than anything else. He's all I need. He's all I need. Alrighty? So this morning, I do want you to empty yourselves of any concerns that you have. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with us having concerns. There isn't. Anything wrong with that? We live in a world that has been polluted by the enemy. Amen? And there are cares and concerns that we carry. We need to unburden ourselves of those things so that when we lift up our hands, they're not weighed down with our concerns. But what I'm wanting to do, though, is to change our focus to where not only do I think about and ask God to take care of the things that concern me, but I'm also come to Him with a grateful heart, remembering all that He has done. Remember when we were raised in the Baptist church and they had across the table or on the front there? This do in remembrance of me. And that's what I wanted to bring us to, a remembrance of how good God's been. Amen? I want to spend just a few minutes this morning getting deep into our business. Because that's what the gospel is all about, is getting into our business. Amen? This morning what I want to talk about is we need to move from concept to application. From concept to application. What I mean by that is it's real easy for us to give mental assent. Oh yeah, I agree with that. But then not take what it is we believe or what it is we say we believe and make any personal application to where it changes us. Church is full of people who believe in the things the church says, but they don't allow it to change their lives. And the truth of the matter is, if the gospel is not changing your life, you're not listening to the gospel. Because that's what the gospel is all about. It's about changing us. All righty? Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 8, verse 30. John chapter 8. Those of you taking notes, we're going to look at John 8, 30 through 32. For your notes there. John 8, 30 through 32. Looks like everybody's there. John 8:30, and Jesus spoke these words. Many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody need a... Is that what you're looking for? Anybody need a Bible? If you raise your hand, like DJ said he wanted one. Mike's got a... Here's the truth I want us to deal with this morning. On your outline there it says, we are... The important thing about this statement, we are spirit, is this. We do not have a spirit. We are spirit. And so, the truth that will set us free is this truth. Whatever's wrong in our bodies, whatever's wrong in our emotions, whatever's wrong in our soul, is fixed by dealing with what we are, our spirit. And until we deal with the spirit of a man, there is no change that is permanent. John chapter 8, verse 30 through 32 in the NIV says, even as Jesus spoke, many put their faith in Him. How many of you have your faith in Jesus this morning? To the Jews who believed on Him, Jesus said, if you hold to My teachings, you are My disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Living Bible says it this way, then many of the Jewish leaders who heard Jesus saying these things began believing Him to be the Messiah. Jesus said to them, you are truly My disciples if you live as I tell you to. You are My disciples if you live as I tell you to. And living as I tell you to, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, one of the misconceptions I believe there to be about this verse is this. We interpret this verse by saying, well, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth, so come to Jesus and you're free. Well, how many of you have come to Jesus and you're not free yet? I believe that the correct interpretation of this verse is this. Jesus says, when you follow My teachings will expose who you are to you. And when you see who you are in light of My word, the truth about you will set you free from you. How many of you know that the truth about who you are, Jesus already knows? Okay, so that's a done issue there. But I have spent a lifetime selling myself lies about me. That I believe to be the truth because I've told those things to myself for so many years that I can't differentiate between what is true and what isn't. Which is why we need the sword of the Spirit or sword of the Word that... We need the Word which is sharper than any two-edged sword to divide asunder what I've told myself about myself and what's really true about myself. That word comes along and it divides the intent from what I was the reason I thought I did that. How many times have we gone back over something that we've done in our lives and we said, well, you know, I thought at the time that I was doing that out of a good motive. But when we learn the truth about why we do what we do, or why we are the way we are, or so forth and so on, when we learn the truth about ourselves, we can be set free from ourselves. I love that little Ziggy cartoon I saw one time where Ziggy's down there and he's praying. He says, "Oh God, please set me free from my worst enemy. Destroy my worst enemy, oh God. Strike my worst enemy, oh God." And a lightning bolt comes down and hits him. Somehow or another, I understood the cartoon and didn't think it was funny. Because Don gives more devil to Don than the devil gives devil to Don. When you take the mirror of God's Word and you hold it up in front of yourself and you see yourself as the Word exposes us to be, it is in coming to the realization of that truth about ourselves that sets us free from ourselves. Yes or no? Okay. Let me give you an example. Years ago, Pastor Jim brought to us what I consider even to this day to be one of the most phenomenal revelations concerning ourselves and how to be free when he taught us on the link between sin and physical sickness. The link between sin and physical sickness. Now, not all physical sickness is sin associated. Not all. Okay? But reoccurring physical ailments find their healing in our spirit, not in the bottom of a medicine bottle. That truth, when it was brought to us, caused some people, as the mirror was held up, to run in the opposite direction. And some people stood in front of the mirror until the Word exposed the sin that was in their spirit that was causing them to physically be ill. Sometimes that sin is self-induced. Sometimes it's generational sin that's never been broken in our lives. Sometimes it's environmental sin because we live in a sinful world. But if we will take hold of the truth that the reoccurring physical sin in my life has a spiritual parallel. Just real quickly. I went to the doctor one time because I was having bad allergies. And we found out that I was allergic to colas, dark colas, and chocolate. Now, how you live without eating chocolate, I don't know. Okay? But the doctor said, don't eat any chocolate. So 6 months later, a year later, something, I'm in Greensboro, I'm having dinner with this family, and the woman of the home has fixed homemade chocolate chips cookies about this big. I mean, the biggest chocolate chip cookies you ever saw. Chocolate chips all over it. They came and they set them down at the table, fresh out of the oven, and of course, who do they offer them to first but the guest? For which I refused because I couldn't eat the chocolate. Sorry. I really like chocolate, but I can't have that. And the man at the table, I wish I could remember his name now. I thought I'd never forget it. But anyway, I can't remember his name. All of a sudden, it was like the radar in his eyes locked on me. He said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, I'm allergic to chocolate." He said, "You don't have to be." And he got up and came around and laid his hands on my head and he began to pray. Now, I'm going to tell you, his name was Joel. I knew I wouldn't forget it. He said some things about my heritage that he didn't have any way of knowing whatsoever and broke a hereditary curse. He prayed like he was reading my diary. When he got done praying, he said, "Don, you don't have to eat that if you don't want to, but I believe that Jesus has done for you what it is we asked him to do." The next day when I was home, I went out and I bought Rocky Road ice cream. And it was a Monday night, and there was Monday night football. And I sat there and ate a pint of Rocky Road ice cream and have not suffered from allergies since. Eat all the chocolate I want. Why? Because the problem was not in the chocolate. The problem was in my spirit, and my spirit needed to be dealt with. My spirit had a bruise on it that was handed down. And when Jesus healed the spirit, the body had to conform. He said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Which is easier, to heal this man of his palsy or to heal the palsy?" And when he said, "Your sins are forgiven," the man's body straightened up to match his spirit. And he got up and he walked away. Everybody following me? But if we reject the truth of that, "Well, I've always had migraines." Well, let me tell you what causes migraines. Repressed anger. "I'm not mad." "Oh, sorry. I guess I misunderstood then." But see, that's how angry people respond. Angry people respond with, "I'm not mad." Oh, that's why you have TMJ. Because you're so at peace with the world. Hello? Uh-oh. Okay, we moved out of teacher into prophet. Did y'all see the shift in the gears? But see, we get the truth will set us free, but only as we are willing to live up to the truth and move from concept to application. "Oh yeah, I think that's a great concept, Don. That's a real revelation about the link there, you know, and I think that's just wonderful. Well, but I don't have any intentions of dealing with the chronic pains that I live with." And it's time for us to move from concept to application. Amen? On your outline there it says, don't you love the way Webster writes things? This is a definition of a word. "The quality or condition inherent in a body that exhibits opposite properties or powers in opposite parts or direction, or that exhibits contrasted properties or powers in contrasted parts or directions." How do you like that? Attraction toward a particular object or in a specific direction. What is the word for which that is a definition? It is this word. Oh. Polarity. That is the definition for polarity. In fact, your sermon title today is Personality Polarity. Personality Polarity. You see, in order for there to be polarity, there has to be a positive, a negative, and a neutral. Doesn't there, Bryce? Bryce can teach you more about polarity than I can. There has to be a positive, a negative, and a neutral in order for there to be polarity. Inside of each and every one of us, there are positives, negatives, and neutrals that cause us to be attracted to certain positive, negatives, and neutrals in other people. It is your personality polarity. It's why a lot of times, I'll go so high as to say, 8 out of 10 times when a person gets a divorce, they turn around and remarry the same person. Amen. Different face, different body, identical same person. It's why It's why the woman who's married to this man and he physically abuses her, divorces him and turns around and marries a physically abusive person. Because there's a personality polarity, a positive, a negative, and a neutral, that is inside of that person that is attracted to a positive, a negative, a neutral in someone else.
So how you change that then?
We're going to get there. So I get a phone call. Don? Yeah, ring. I get a phone call. Don? My daughter's getting married. They want you to do the ceremony. Will you do it? You know what my answer was? More than likely not. They said, why? This was the mother. And I said to the mother, I more than likely won't do it because I know your husband. And your daughter's going to grow up and want to marry a man just like her daddy. And I wouldn't perform a ceremony for somebody like your daughter marrying somebody like your husband for nothing in the world. That's pretty tough, wasn't it? But you see, there's a personality polarity that causes daughters to grow up and marry their daddy. It's one of the reasons why, when we're doing marriage counseling, let's say that who I want to pick on here? Bruce and Judy. I'll pick on y'all. Bruce and Judy come to me and they want to get married. I would say to him, Bruce, imagine your daddy being married to her mother. What kind of a chance would you give it? Because you see, the older Bruce gets, the more like his daddy he becomes. And the older Judy becomes, the more like her mother she becomes. And so basically what happens is that Bruce's daddy marries Judy's mother. And if they look back at me and go, I wouldn't give it a snowball's chance and you know where, then I say to them, that's exactly how your marriage is going to end up then. Because you have a personality polarity that attracts you, totally unbeknownst to you, to certain people. It's why on the negative, the positive, negative, neutral, it's why on the negative there are certain people you meet them and immediately you don't like them. It's also why on the positive there are certain people that you meet and you automatically like them. You just love them. You think, I feel like I've known you all my life. You have. Because we're a cookie cutter. Down there where you got your three lines on your note, that's positive, negative, neutral. Yeah, right there. Positive, negative, neutral. It forms a polarity. This polarity, next thing down, this polarity is fed by choices. This polarity is fed by the choices I make. I make choices to be a person who's moral or a person who's immoral. I make choices to be honest or I make choices to not be honest. I make choices to be fair or to not be fair. And as I make those choices, they form my personality and they create inside of me those positive, negative, and neutral neutrons, electrical charges, that form all in who of what I am. This polarity is fed by my upbringing. I made a choice during my upbringing that when I got my own house, I will never make a bed again. It was a choice that I made because my mom had me make my bed every day. I thought it was ridiculous to make your bed. Why do you make a bed you don't see all day until you're getting ready to go back and unmake it again to get into it? You know, exactly. You know, I don't understand it. But here's the thing. See, here's where you got to understand though. You got to make it till you got your own house. When it's your own bed, then you get to not make it. But until then, we do what our mamas say.
Amen?
Amen? Okay. If you're smart in making the choices. But we've been married 12 years, and I bet I've made the bed 3 times. I only make it when I'm ready to go to bed, and it's not made, so I help her so I can get into bed. But the way we were raised, it helps develop our personalities and causes that polarity on the inside of us that makes us attracted to people of the same polarity, or actually of opposite polarity. See, if you take two magnets, and it's right, take two magnets, you can't push them together because they're the same polarity. And so what we've done is in the world, this is how we put it. Well, you know, it's kind of funny how opposites attract. That's nothing more than a biblical principle of personality polarity where opposites attract. My beliefs feed my polarity. If I believe that everybody's out to get me, then I'm going to be a suspicious type of person. I'm going to be suspicious of everybody I meet. If I'm an angry kind of person, then I'm going to eventually get mad at everybody I know. And this polarity is also fed by our heritage. There are certain things that are just simply handed down to you. One of the reasons why I stay as far away from alcohol as I can possibly get is because on my mother's side of the family, there is a... What was the word you and I used, honey? I got it here in my notes. Let me look at what it is. Thank you very much. We called it something else. What did we call it? Predisposed. I am predisposed to being an alcoholic because on my mother's side of the family, there are alcoholics. Now, alcoholism is nothing more than the manifested fruit of the symptom of the problem. Because you see, I'm an alcoholic who doesn't drink. My wife, I'm gonna be real personal with you here, because the truth here is gonna set us free if you want to be. My wife's an enabler. And that's why we were attracted to each other. Because I'm an alcoholic that doesn't drink. But that same obsessive, compulsive behavior, oh Lord, it's just all over me. It's just that it doesn't manifest itself in drinking. Isn't that right, Michelle? It just doesn't manifest itself in drinking. But do you know what? The kids, they got those little Nintendos and GameCubes and all that. Hey, come play this. No, sir. Because you know what I'm afraid of? I will like it. And when I get to liking it, I'm likely not to go to work. Now, what is the difference between that and the alcoholic who doesn't go to work because he was drinking? Absolutely none whatsoever. But it's that same obsessive, compulsive personality trait that once I get a hold of something, enough is never enough. Because of my polarity, which is brought about by my choices, my upbringing, my beliefs, and how I was predisposed. You follow me? Everybody with me so far? Of course, my favorite. You know how I define an enabler? An enabler is the mother who's taking her child to school, and the father coming home the night before is passed out and sleeping in the yard. And the little kid looks up at mom and says, "Mom, what's dad doing?" She says, "Camping out." Now that's a perfect description of an enabler. You know, they excuse away everything. Nobody's ever at fault for anything. They're just camping out. God, it gets on my nerves. I can't understand it. I'll try to leave my sarcasm somewhere else. But they excuse everything. Nothing's ever right and wrong. It's just explained away. See, that's what an enabler does. And that's why I love you, honey, because you explain away all my faults. Sore suit mother. Now, here's where this really starts to get to be ugly. Oh, you thought we were already at the ugly part? No, this is where it starts to get really be ugly. Okay, you ready? My polarity has not made me. I have made my polarity. I am not a victim. Y'all are looking at me hard. You see, it is my belief, my choices, my upbringing, my beliefs, my heritage. I just got through telling you that I have a I'm predisposed. I'll get that word in a minute. I'm predisposed toward alcoholism. Now, my mother and her sister was raised in the identical same house. My mother doesn't drink and her sister does. Sociably. But I just call that part-time drunkenness. Just not sleeping in the streets, you know? Because you see, you can't say, my mother can't say, I stayed away from alcoholism because I was raised in an alcoholic house, because her sister was raised in the identical same house and her sister didn't. What's the difference? Did the polarity make them or did they make their polarity? They made their polarity. Because they made the choices. They chose what they would believe. And they chose how they would live. Ladies and gentlemen, this is called personal responsibility. God, didn't you hate hearing them two words put together? You see, it bothers me to hear the commercial on TV that says, if you can't make a Panthers game, turn your Panther tickets in to the community services office and we will give it to children who are part of mentoring programs or all this kind of stuff. So they can use tickets. All that's just fine until they get down to the last few words and they say, do it for these deserving children. What made them deserving? They're just children who maybe have a mentor, or maybe don't have a father, or but just because there's some lack in their life, that didn't make them more deserving than my children who have a father. But see, that's the mentality that we teach, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're poor, you're pitiful, you're all life's tough. You got handed a bag full of lemons. You deserve something. You don't deserve a thing. You're lucky God gave you life. Now the life He gave you, take it and do something with it. And stop blaming my gender, my age, the time in which I was born. My daddy was rich. My daddy was poor. My mama was pretty. My mama was ugly. My mother dropped me on my head one time when I was a baby, picking me up out of the crib. You know, that's got nothing to do with nothing. Except that we took all of those things and we made choices and beliefs and attitudes and we developed our polarity. Because you see, if we are not willing for my polarity to be mine, then it's not mine to get fixed. If it's a, I can't help it, then what we're doing is we're just sitting and we're waiting on something to fall. I've knocked that drink over 2 weeks in a row. I was trying not to do it today. We're just sitting and we're waiting on something to just, you know, well, the poor circumstances I was born in, I sort of dropped into them, so now I'm just waiting on something to drop onto me and change everything. And there's not a person in this room, well, there may be many of us in this room who have the same mindset, but there's not a person in this room who doesn't understand what it is I'm talking about. Because we meet people day in and day out whose circumstances and their lives are not their fault. All you got to do is ask them. But do you know what? What causes that constant reoccurrence? Is the positive, the negative, the neutral that is inside. Now, let me tell you this. My wife is a nurturer. She's the She's one of the best mothers I have ever known. Would y'all agree with that?
Yep.
Only mother you've known. You do need a ride home. She's one of the best mothers I've ever known because of her nurturing nature. Now, nurturing, is that positive, negative, or neutral? You know what the answer is? Yes. That's the answer.
Yes.
Nurturing is positive, it is negative,
yes.
And it is neutral.
That's true.
Okay? So what happens? She gets into above 39 something, and she decides to go back to school. She's the oldest one in her class, so what does she become in there? Of the 20 who started and of the 13 that are left, only one out of the 13 left knows that there are seven gone. The other 12, oh, they're safely hidden. Up under the wing. And they don't have any idea that there's other little chickies there who are not there anymore. Now, here's the question. Anything wrong with that? Not necessarily. Could there be something wrong with that? Yes, there could. When she starts in her nurturing nature to say to herself, boy, we've had seven drop out. Wonder what I could have done to have saved them. That's when positive just became negative. Repent! No, just kidding. See, that's when positive just became negative. But see, if we don't assume responsibility for having made ourselves the way we are, we will drive ourselves crazy. Now, I'm trying to be careful, but there's no way to not get in your business and not us get across what it is we're trying to say. Let me see if I can say something this way. There comes a time in our lives, mom and dad, when our children are who and what our children are, because that's the choices that they have made, not because of the way we raised them. But you'd be surprised how many mamas, daddies, want to sit in Pastor Jim's office and talk about how I dropped them on their head when they was a crib baby, and so the rest of their lives is warped and it's my fault somehow. No, at some point, our children become what it is our children have decided they want to be. Because you see, if we don't assume responsibility for who we are, then we will never assume responsibility to change who we are. And so we're then stuck. Somebody did this to me, that's why I am the way I am. I'm waiting on somebody to do something else to me so I can be different. No. Well, you know, I just can't help it. I got this anger problem. My dad had it. His dad had it. His dad had it. It's just one of them things that's just always been in our family. You know why? Because you always have made a decision for it to stay. Because there's a place at Calvary where that junk can go away. If you want your polarity changed. Well, you know, I've just always been the kind of person that when I got upset, I just blew off. But once I let off all the steam, I feel better. Well, bless your heart, you're the only one. That's like taking a scatter gun when you're angry and shooting the wall and saying, well, I feel better. How about you all? What that is not anger, that's irresponsibility. To leave the whole world in shambles, but thank God at least now you feel better. But see, I can't help that. My mama was that way. My grandmother was that way. Whoever raised me was that way or whatever, you know? I mean, I hope to God that I can grow into being the kind of caring and compassionate and servant heart person that Martha Blanton is, and she was raised in a home for girls. And her life is admirable, I think. Why? Because she made choices and decisions. Okay, let me close then. I think you all got it. How do I change? All right, you ready for the good news on how to change? Okay, the good news is you can't.
Oh, shit.
Gotcha. You cannot change. There we go. Now the bulbs are coming on. You cannot change. Only God can change you. Now, here's where I want to take it to the next level, though. We must take ourselves, now listen to me, you're going to miss this. We must take ourselves as we are and lay ourselves down at the foot of the cross. It isn't my decision as to what needs to be changed. It is my decision to allow Him to change me. That's the way He gave it to me. That's why I wanted to read it to you that way. We must take ourselves as we are and lay ourselves at the foot of the cross. Because it isn't my decision as to what needs to be changed. It is my decision to let Him change me. Here I am, God, with my polarity, with my positives, with my negatives, and with my neutrals. And I just lay it at your altar. And where I am in error, God, correct me. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, let's take little Anna right here. I'll pick on her for a second. Yeah, your turn. How old are you, Anna? 18? 19. I knew you couldn't have got all that beauty in 18 years. 19 years old. How many of you know that Anna's got all of her life ahead of her? All of her life out ahead of her. And Anna has a personality polarity. That she is standing at a pivotal point in her life because she's sitting here with us today. She is standing at a pivotal point in her life to where she can always be attracted to the wrong kinds of people, or she can always be attracted to the right kinds of people. Willis and Judson. How old are the boys? 11 and 13. I knew theirs, didn't know yours, Anna. Sorry about that. I think I just found out at Thanksgiving. 11 and 13. All your lives ahead of you. And the people that you room with in college, the friends you hang out with in school, the people who will be your buds on your ball team, will be that without you even, that force field goes out. And you have absolutely no control over it whatsoever. When Tripp was he 11 when we sent him to Russia? Tripp was 11 when we sent him to Russia to live with Lisa. He had fallen in with the wrong crowd and was doing stuff he knew he shouldn't do. Well, I can't change his polarity, but I sure put him somewhere where his polarity had a whole lot less opportunity. And I just packed him up, got him his immunizations, bought him a passport, and the boy went to Russia. His polarity changed while he was there too. Some for the better, some not for the better. But he didn't come back the same kid he was when he left. But every one of us in this room have had a life of saying things like, I just don't understand why people like that are always attracted to me. If I could just stay away from those kinds of people. Whether it's relationships between like men and women, whether it's relationships just simply in a work environment. We have some family members who are headed to a divorce. Nobody knows it yet but me. They don't even know it. But they're headed to a divorce. All I got to do is look right here. And they ain't going to make it. And sometimes I'll hear Frances, I call her mom, say, you know, I was over there the other day and things seemed to be better. And out of the other end of the house, what do y'all hear? It ain't no better. I mean, they hate it that I do that. And I don't. And it kind of comes out before I even really think about it. It ain't no better, Mom. They've just kind of learned to ignore me now. Because you see, until Jesus changes you, anybody can fake Mom out for an hour while she's over there at your house. But we've got to assume responsibility for who we are. I am who I am, and I am what I am, because I made me this way.
Maybe that was when your mom dropped you.
Maybe it was. Well, all of my problems are due to the fact that mother loved Kent best. But all of it's wrapped up in that. And the only way I'm ever going to be well is to go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time, and her like me best the next time. Yeah. But I mean, I say something like that, and we all hear the ludicrousness of that, and yet there are people who are walking right outside this, right down the side of this church, who believe that they are where they are because of what somebody else has done to them rather than the choices that they've made. But I'm not concerned about that. I'm trying to wrap up with talking about you and talking about me. If I'm going to change, I've got to recognize. One of my upbringings was, you don't eat while you're in the bed. So I marry Michelle. And I come in the house and she's watching TV, laying in the bed and eating potato chips. And I went crazy. I was like, right, it was a long time ago, baby. I'm like, you're eating in the bed. You know what she said? If I make a mess, the sheets wash. I had to stand at that moment and make a decision. Didn't I? And you know, I thought to myself, that's right. Got in the bed with her, watched TV, and ate potato chips. Nothing wrong with eating food in bed anymore as far as I'm concerned. But you see, that's a decision we have to make. Things like that we can do on our own. But that polarity can only be changed by the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's why, Miss Wilborn, if God grants you a next husband, it can be your last husband. But if he doesn't change the polarity inside of you, it'd be just like the one before. And well, I won't get into. I wasn't going to get into all that. And we spend our lives running from difficult situations And then we look back over our shoulders and we go, wonder why it is I always find myself in these difficult situations. And we blame the situation rather than understanding that we have a personality polarity that attracts us, pulls us in a direction that when we get to where we are, we really don't want to be there.
So but I need to change so I can find the right person.
Correct. No. You need... No. No. Let me answer that question. No. No. Hear this answer. You need to let Jesus change you to where you don't need anybody in your life but Him. And when He is your husband and your supplier and your lover and your best friend, He might make a decision to let you have somebody.
Okay.
But until He is all you ever need, nobody else will ever be able to fill your needs. Yes, ma'am. And thank you very much. That's the part of, that's the honesty we need to get to. Because you see, no, I can't marry some, you know, I'm going to find me somebody to marry and they're going to make me happy. No, they're not. Do they? They don't make us happy. Because until you're happy in Jesus, you ain't going to be happy with nobody. Or is it anybody? And you're not going to be happy with yourself. So in conclusion, here's where I am. We need to lay ourselves down at the cross and say, God, I don't choose to change myself. I choose to give myself to You for You to change. You have Your will and Your way with me and in me and through me. Make me what it is You want to be. Because in truth, Jesus, You are all I need. You are all I need. And I'll tell you something, as we discussed earlier, every decision He makes, He will make out of a motive of loving you more than you've ever thought possible for you to ever be loved. You know, if I had died on the cross for you, I'd be making decisions wanting you to pay me back. Isn't that right? But he died on the cross and He doesn't make any decisions based on you paying Him back. He died on the cross so that He could make decisions based out of, I love you more than anything else in all creation. I love you. There are many of you. The younger you are, the more true this is, that you're standing on the precipice of a life-changing decision where we need to move from acknowledgement, from concept to application. And if you will take this concept and understand it and meditate on it and ask God to set you free and make you whole, your life can be different from this day forward. You can eat chocolate again. And your life can be different. Because Jesus will change our polarity to match His. God, I want Your DNA. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God. Thank You for not allowing us to change ourselves. Because I'd mess that up too. Thank You, God, for all that You have protected me from in the years that I've been alive. And thank You, God, for opening up my eyes to see how far it is You want to take me. Now, Lord God, we lay ourselves at your feet, just as I am and without one plea, except for the plea that your blood was shed for me. I come. Have your will and your way in our lives, Lord Jesus. We pray. Amen. Let me say one more thing to you real quickly. And I don't see it now. Let me tell you where this is for those of you taking notes and who hopefully will take serious. John 14, 23 through 30. Jesus says, the enemy has come. I will not speak to you much anymore, tell you much else, because the enemy has come and he has found nothing in me. He has found nothing in me. That's the polarity I'd like for us to have. Well, that's not possible. Not for you then. But just as sure as every thought can be brought captive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, just as surely as we can live a life this side of eternity, that when the enemy comes, he finds nothing in us. I'm just asking you to go on this journey with me.